Hey, this is Chris Brown, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at PureFlix.com, the best place to stream faith and family-friendly movies and more. Sign up for your free one-month trial subscription today at PureFlix.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls today at 866-357-3283. If you're new to the show, you might be asking, why would we be calling in? We are talking about life through the eyes of stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. So you call in with those financial situations, those relationship situations, maybe it's leadership situations, and maybe it's just flat out life. Just call in. It doesn't have to be something horrible. You can call in with a testimony of how God has blessed you and your family. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, folks, I know I've been reminding you a lot about the Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway, but that's because I'm talking about an opportunity to change your future. Make sure you enter once a day, every day, at stewardship.com. And of course, we have deals on some incredible gifts right there at stewardship.com. So make sure you take advantage of all of that. I want to start off our show today with a shout out to Tim on Facebook. He posted on my wall. Check this out, y'all. Debt-free today. That's right. All caps. Paid off the HELOC, and that is the end. Other than the mortgage. So it's kind of the end. But awesome. Very good. It says mortgage can be gone in 2 weeks if we apply the rest of the monthly snowball to it. Well, I'm assuming you're going to do that. That's awesome. So big thanks to Tim. And Tim has been great on Facebook, very active on there, encouraging other people. He's, you know, one of those ones that really grasps the whole idea of true stewardship community, and he's looking for people to encourage on there. And I know many of you are doing that. Very, very cool stuff. So thank you for sharing a good word today. Anyone in the middle of their baby steps or on a journey, you know that you need, you know, what to keep, you know, keep you going. These good words, they keep you going. And so remember that Tim just proved that it can be done. So as you're building your future and thinking about your next steps, just know that guys like Tim all over the country are experiencing financial victories. I will say, when we're talking about Facebook right now, don't miss exclusive content on Facebook Live. I just recently did one on the ins and outs of holiday spending and some great stuff on there. So if you haven't connected with this show on Facebook, do that. The handle is Chris Brown On Air, and we'll do Facebook Lives from time to time that really feel like they'll add a lot of value to your life. Again, we're taking your emails and taking your calls. The number is 866-357-3283, and the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This first call comes in from Temple, Texas. This is James. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm honored. How can we help?
Well, my wife and I are actually debt-free as of 1 week.
Way to go.
So we're pretty excited.
That's huge.
And yeah, so we're eager to be in this next step. And I just had a question. You know, I'm always planning and trying to figure out. But you know, we stayed exactly to this plan, and we know now that we need to save the 3 to 6 months worth of expenses.
Yeah.
But my question is that as we gear near towards the end, would it also might be a possibility of maxing out my IRA for this year, or should I just skip it and stick to the 3 to 6 months? So I'm kind of, I don't know, make, you know, should I capitalize on the IRA that we already had in place, or should I just keep it there, or I'm looking for a little advice.
Yeah, I would, you know, 4.5 million people have worked this plan, experienced financial victory, and large variety of different circumstances. And after all those circumstances, over 20 years of analyzing all these unique situations, that's why we came up with the linear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in order on purpose. You're going to come up with these situations and you're like, oh, I could totally see it either way.
Yeah.
We've already gone through the huge wrestle with a bunch of really, really smart people and said, no, you're better at, and here's the key. You know, write this down on your mirror somewhere. You want to stabilize the present before focusing on the future. Stabilize the present before you focus on the future. Because the minute you start contributing to that IRA and you don't have an emergency fund, it's going to be that time where you're going to go, oh, shoot, I don't have any money on hand and the roof just caved in, or I just had appendicitis, or the air conditioner broke. And what will you have to do? You'll have to go right back into debt and you'll go backwards. And so you'll have this IRA that's nice and cute, but then you'll have an interest rate that's even higher than your IRA's return. And so just be patient.
Yeah,
you're just a little bit ahead of the game. It's fine. And here's the deal. I want you to get to the IRA as soon as possible because compound interest is your best friend. I mean, it really is. Einstein said it's the eighth wonder of the world, and I want you to get to that. But let's make sure that we stabilize the present. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. The whole idea is we want to take care of our relatives, our family right now and the future, but we got to make sure that we stabilize this present first before we focus on the future. So,
it's a good word. I wrote it down just now. I appreciate it.
Good. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
My wife and I have the privilege and responsibility to shape the hearts of our three kids. We don't always get it right, of course, but that's why I'm thankful for resources like PureFlix.com. It's the best place to stream faith and family-friendly movies, documentaries, kids programming, and more. Anytime, anywhere, on your phone, tablet, laptop, or TV. PureFlix.com provides wholesome Christian entertainment that I can trust to make a positive impact on my whole family. Go to PureFlix.com today and sign up for your free one-month trial subscription. Your family will thank you. All right, folks. Proverbs 21:20 is in the Bible. And the house of the wise is choice food and oil. So savings is part of it. Yeah, it's a big deal. But also says Proverbs 13:22, so I understand James completely. Because Proverbs 13:22 says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So he's got all these two wrestles. But it's that 1 Timothy 5:8. You got to take care of your family now. And you got to take care of your family later. It's kind of both. But let's take care of the present first. And that doesn't mean you start living lavishly before you start. You just got to make sure you have that 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up in case life throws you a huge curveball. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. You can call in at 866-357-3283. And it looks like Joanne has done just that. She's calling in from Bay City. Well, how can we help you?
I joined a gym about 6 months ago, and they had a free personal training session, which was provided by a different company than the gym itself.
Okay.
So I was all emotional and signed, you know, a six-month contract, and then didn't realize they had a clause in there that said it will automatically renew every month unless you give a 30-day notice. So I just realized that about a couple days ago, so it's like 15 days notice instead of 30, so they're going to still charge me. And I thought, I know there's some way to talk to somebody to get out of this. So I want to know, like, what would be the right kind of language to use or how to deal with somebody. I did ask the supervisor to call me. I couldn't talk directly to a supervisor. They had to call me back within 72 hours and haven't called me back yet.
Wow.
It's an automatic withdraw from your account.
Yeah, no, my little bit of pause here is me gulping because I've been there. I know exactly this frustration, what it looks like. I bet you probably 30% of our listeners today have had this scenario before. Gym membership contracts are brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. There's a lot of fine print. They do not want you out of that gym membership contract at all. So I've had absolutely no luck trying to navigate through these waters online or over the phone. I've had a lot more progress in these kind of situations face-to-face, and I've won a lot more of these kind of deals, not just with gym contracts, but other contracts, when I went in there not angry or neutral, but I actually went in there with extreme kindness and went in there with assumptive language, meaning surely. Like, you just kind of assume, like, in your verbiage, you're like, surely you guys are going to do the right thing. But here's the deal. There's been several times I've done all that and it still didn't work.
Okay.
So in the event that it doesn't work, my suggestion would be to leverage the mess out of that gym contract and be in there every day.
Okay.
And make big best use of it. But this is a pretty good way to learn a lesson on, you know, without it being a multi-$1,000 mistake.
And then what about like putting like a stop payment on it through your account, how you can block it? You know, that would cost me so much less.
Yeah, I just don't know if I would block it, because if you agreed to a contract that you were supposed to read the small print, and you signed it, it's that whole Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and no be no kind of thing.
Okay.
The thing is you agreed you'd pay it. It stinks. I just had a recent thing happen to me talking to my landlord, trying to get out of my rental thing, and I'm trying to buy out the option. And part of my contract says that you'll pay 3 months rent if you terminate prematurely. So I'm in this boat right now. And I said I was, you know, I'm a really good tenant, and I threw it out there that, hey, I'm wondering if, you know, I've been a good tenant, we're buddies, you know, is there any way you can meet me halfway? That's kind of brutal. I know that's in the original language of the contract, but surely we're buddies. He held me to it.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, I'm just like, okay, I got to strike him a big fat check, and it's just part of it. But my yay be yay, my nay be nay. And I tried to do the best I could, but at the end of the day, him and I had an agreement and I got to do it. So that was a much more expensive mistake.
Right.
So I appreciate the call, and I would stick to it. And if you can't get out of it, then just try to be in that gym every day to make sure from a stewardship standpoint that every workout's costing you $1 instead of $20.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne. All right, folks, got an email here from Steven. Says, Chris, I have an issue with volunteers in church. Whoa. I'm currently learning to become a site director of the kids ministry program at my church. We have about 40 volunteers in rotation, but most of them don't take their role seriously. We're trying to show them that the kids ministry is not babysitting. Amen. It's not childcare, but it's ministry. How do I, in quotes, call them out and make them see the seriousness of volunteering in kids ministry without scaring them off and making them leave the kids program? Thanks for everything you do. Stephen, a great question. There's a great John Maxwell-ism. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So really, it comes down to you. And I want to encourage you, Stephen, to inspire them, to show them. You're not going to tell them. You're going to show them. You can't tell them. They have to see it. So what do I mean by that? Practically speaking, what does this look like? You want to start with your top 4 to 10 influencers out of those 40 and tell them the burden that you have. The burden that you have just in general, that across the country, that sometimes this can be thought of as childcare and it's not. It can be thought of as babysitting and it's not. It's a burden of yours at a deep level. You're not pointing fingers at the other 30 to 36 volunteers. It's just a burden overall. And what you're going to do is you're going to use this to build a ground floor for a great story of restoration of vision and purpose. A conflict in life is certain. And those you've been listening for a while, say this with me. You know where I'm going. Conflict in life is certain, but drama is a choice. You never blame the team. No, that's so disempowering. It's always, what can I do differently? It's personal responsibility. And they either reflect yesterday's leadership or yours. They might be reflecting your leadership. Remember, though, it takes time. Today's leadership yields tomorrow's results. You're seeing the results of yesterday's leadership. Okay? Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you." Here's what it says. "Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So you just got to give them something to imitate. Your passion, your love for kids. Cast a compelling vision of what that time, that 1 hour with you guys, what it can do in their life. And show them results. Show them middle schoolers and high schoolers that have been through the program years ago and their life has changed. Give them results. So again, it's not anything you're going to tell them. It's going to be something you show them. Well, folks, let me ask you a question. Think back to all those gifts you've been given in your life. Maybe some of those weirder gifts than others. I don't know. How many of those gifts actually changed the trajectory of your life? And what about this? How many times have you given a gift to somebody else that has totally changed someone else's life? Those gifts, those experiences are what make futures hopeful and bright. That is why here at Ramsey Solutions, we are kicking off our Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway. We're giving away $100,000 worth of cash and prizes in the weeks leading up to Christmas. We'll be drawing a winner each week. All you have to do is go to stewardship.com to enter. You can enter once a day, every day, for your chance to win. And for the people that you care about, while you're there, don't forget to check out the special sales and deals that we have on some of our life-changing resources. So make sure to head over to stewardship.com, check out the deals leading up to Christmas, and enter our Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway every day for your chance to win.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And we want to thank you because we've been getting your questions, your testimonies, your success stories. If you've had difficult times and God has brought you through those times and you're on the other side now, share it with us. And you can give hope and encouragement to others. Call us at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, next on the line, we've got Matthew. He's calling in from Rockwood, Tennessee. Matthew, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How far away is Rockwood from Nashville?
About 2 hours.
Okay, very good. I'm learning all about the cities in Tennessee as I'm still in my first couple years. How can I help you today?
Well, I've kind of got two questions. One would depend on the answer to the first question.
Okay.
We started a business last year. We made $21,000 in that business. We have a family of five. I have no other job, just the business.
What's the business?
We sell golf carts, McCully's golf carts. We take them from golf courses and customize them for personal use.
Okay.
And listening to Dave Ramsey a lot, he suggests people kind of keep their day job before they really jump all in.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a day job. I was on Social Security disability and VA from something that occurred in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So I was better. I was able to work again. So we requested a reevaluation and Social Security was going away. And I thought, well, do I want to work for somebody or work for myself? And so I just jumped in. So we bought a rental house and we have a mortgage on it. We like the house. We want to keep it, but our tenants are moving out this month. And it does actually provide an extra $3,000 a year in income. So we're wondering, should we sell the house or just rent it back out for another year lease? The second part of it is our primary home is a double-wide trailer, which I know that's an unwise place to live because it goes down in value. So should we consider moving out of our primary home?
How much equity would you have?
The rental.
Matthew, how much would you, how much money would you have if you liquidated both of those? How much equity do you have in both?
In both?
Mm-hmm, together.
Approximately $40,000.
Okay. And where are you at in your baby steps?
Well, I mean, I guess 3? I'm not really sure. We don't have any debt other than the rental and our mortgage.
Okay. And how much money do you have in savings?
Probably $4,000.
Okay. What would you do if you were to sell both those homes and had $40,000? What would you do with it?
Probably would just look for another home to put a down payment on.
That's the where I'm leaning. I'm leaning towards selling both of them and taking the first half of that $40,000, not half, but maybe $2,000 or $3,000 of that, and putting it in your emergency fund. And baby step 3 will be done, because you're making $21,000, you only need 6 for 3 months in that account.
Yeah. Well, our total income was not $21,000. That was just the business income. We live on about 33 to 36 a year.
All right. So you take 10 of that 40, put it into an emergency fund. The other 30, look towards a down payment on a home, on an actual home that'll appreciate.
Now, our rental house is a traditional home.
Yeah.
What we had considered was actually selling our primary home and moving into the rental. It's actually as nice, if not nicer, than our
home. Which would be completely fine.
Okay. And then the equity from the primary would just be what I would put in the emergency fund.
Yeah, emergency fund or towards the new primary.
Or towards the new primary.
Yeah, after you've fully funded the emergency fund with 3 to 6 months of expenses, after that, you're going to want to take care of baby step 4, which means you're going to start putting 15% of your household income into long-term retirement. Then start thinking through baby step 5, which is college funding. And then baby step 6 is paying off your primary mortgage. That'll be your new primary mortgage. So that's kind of the way you want to roll.
Now, another thing we were actually leaning towards, and tell me if this is unwise. We may not be able to jump the baby steps as quickly, but we were leaning towards actually us moving into our rental and treating our primary home, the one we're now, the trailer, as like baby step 2, like a debt, and paying it down as quick as we could and keeping it as a rental.
Yeah, I don't like that as much. No. I don't want someone to have a rental until their primary is paid off.
Until their primary is paid off. That's what they suggest.
Yeah, I want your first investing to be in baby step 4, where you're diversified and your diversified funds. If you start doing that, you're going to have all your investments into one parcel, which really isn't a parcel. It's just a depreciating piece of metal. So yeah, that's not going to work. But your first game plan of maybe moving in the rental and selling the trailer is great.
Okay. So under no circumstances would you keep a trailer unless it was just for cash flow and you had everything paid off.
Yeah, and you had a tenant in there that's been there forever, and it was out of sight, out of mind, and you had no liabilities with it. And you're just getting free income. That'd be it. And it was already after everything else. You'd done baby steps 1 through 7 already.
Okay. And then, of course, we're working towards increasing our income significantly. I've taken a second part-time job, like to have more of a steady income alongside the business income. Because I didn't really think we had as much of a debt problem as we did an income problem at 30-something thousand for a family of 5.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I talk to a lot of people every day on the air and off the air. You're not in a bad spot at all. And you're building this business, and I don't think you're in a bad spot at all. And as your health gets better and better and you get back to the work, the work field, you might even be able to do maybe one, you know, work on your business while getting another job as well. And
I just actually accepted another job.
Yeah, and you're out of consumer debt. So yeah. You're not in a bad spot. People listening in, there's tens of thousands of people listening to this conversation, and they would say that you're not in a bad spot at all. So don't get discouraged. You're doing great. And once you get some of that equity freed up, you're going to feel even better.
All right. Well, I appreciate the answer.
All right. We appreciate the call. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure today. Really enjoyed our time together. Remember, you can continue to connect with this show at stewardship.com. Also on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Chris Brown On Air. Appreciate you all sharing You can listen on the podcast on iTunes, and you can share over social media and with your friends, with your church. And also want to let you know about another resource, and it is called the Leadership Momentum Podcast, very similar to this show where we talk about stewardship through a leadership lens. And there was a question earlier in this broadcast about leading volunteers at a church, and that content, very similar to this monthly podcast that we have, Leadership Momentum Podcast, and you can find out more about that on iTunes. Just research the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Folks, again, it's been a pleasure, and until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.